Christian greetings, and it is good to be with you this evening. And I too have been just very blessed by the service thus far, and the devotional certainly helped to prepare our hearts for this discussion this evening. The title of the message again is Happy is the Man That Hath His Quiver Full of Them. And I believe that, and that of course is from Psalm 127. And I believe that it is David speaking to his son Solomon. I don't know at what juncture in their lives he penned this psalm. But it may well be that he had his own grandchildren in mind when he made this statement to his son Solomon. There are two basic truths in this title that I think immediately come into focus. One of them is the word happy. Happy is the man. And I'd like to say right here at the beginning, and we'll probably say it again, but it is God's plan that the family unit is filled with joy and happiness. That's God's plan. Is God's plan that in your home and in your family life, that it is filled with joy and happiness? That comes to focus immediately in the title. And the second thing that seems to me that stands out in this title is the word full. Or having many children. And God is, I want to remind you that this is not only a psalm that David penned, but this is the word of God. I want you to look at that little phrase and understand that God is speaking when this is said. When God says, happy is the man that has many children. That's what God says. And I would like to emphasize that this evening. This title does not mean tonight, it does not mean that having many children guarantees happiness. Obviously, this needs to be qualified. Because I believe it is possible to have many children and have a very dysfunctional and sad home. And many people in our world today and many homes experience a lot of frustration with their families and with children. This title, neither does it say that it is the only way to find happiness. We know that God calls, you are not inferior tonight if you are single. Or there are some times for various reasons that sometimes we do not understand or do not need to understand that God limits some families in some ways, and families find themselves with not as many children as they would like to have. It does not mean that those families cannot be happy. But this phrase does mean what it says when it says, happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them.
Amen.
Maybe for just a little exercise, I want you to, this evening, if you are, I know that as we live in the society that we live in, I believe that kind of the mentality of the world around us is that about 1, 2, 3 children is about enough or about the right size. And some, for many people, that's, well, even 1 is too many, I think. But 1, 2, 3 is sort of maybe the common size of family units. All right? As you're sitting here this evening, if you, in your family, in your home, if you were the first, the second, or the third child, I would like you to stay seated, and I would like the rest of you to stand. Would you do that? If you were number 1, 2, or 3 in your family, just stay sitting. And I want the rest of you to stand. Okay, just look around a little bit. That's almost a third of you, maybe. This looks almost like half over here. All right, you may be seated. Thank you. I would like to just somehow inspire our hearts tonight to be thankful for what we have. Many of us have grown up in homes that there was an emphasis on family life, or we had good family life. I cannot convey to you tonight the tremendous blessing that it is if you grew up with good family life. It's just tremendous. And our brother in the devotional talked about that, you know, we could have been. And it is so true. The other thing is, I think that as in the middle of family life, in the middle of growing up, maybe as either the child or the parent, sometimes the load is heavy. And sometimes children are a trial. And sometimes life is just a lot of hard work. I would like us tonight to be able to look past some of that and see the blessings anyway. When I was, I think I may have been about 12 years old, approximately, we had on our farm, we had 6 sour cherry trees. And without much help, those trees just gave a lot of cherries every year. And we had a cherry seeder that you would crank and drop the cherries in and would take the pits out. And one day I was seeding cherries as a young boy, and there was dish pans of buckets full of them. And I was complaining to my mom. This is a terrible job. I just disliked it so much. I don't know why I remember this, but it riveted in my mind. She said to me, "Someday you will look back and this will be a good memory." A good memory. And I say that because sometimes in the middle of home life and in the middle of family life and all of its stresses and toils and hard work, maybe it doesn't look so like such a happy thing. But it is. It really is. And it does make good memories. I think about how my attitude changed about even something like milking cows. Grew up milking cows, and I thought it was just one of the worst things that you could do for a living. And it looks different today. I would like to read Psalm 127, and then I have seven basic concepts or thoughts that I would like to apply to this title this evening, "Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them." Psalm 127, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late and to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." 7 thoughts this evening, and I would like to begin each of them with a little phrase from a song. We have a cassette tape at home with a group singing, and they have a song called, I don't know what a title is, but it goes, "Family joys come when we follow the Lord." Family joys come when we follow the Lord. And I would like to just use that phrase, "Family joys come when," and try to maybe come up with 7 thoughts this evening. As you think about happy is the man, joyous experiences for the man who has children, many children. What is it? What is the joy? What is it that brings happiness in relation to having a family? And so I've chosen to take this approach. Family joy comes, number one. Family joy comes when we view children as a treasure from God. They are from God. This passage underscores that on several occasions. They are the heritage of the Lord. They are the fruit of the womb is His reward. Our worldview of children is in a sad condition. I think that many times our world views children as somewhat of an interference to their lives. You know, they want the end product, but the labor and the work of raising them is undesirable. It's a hindrance to a party lifestyle. Sometimes it's viewed as a burden and just a frustration. But our society is failing miserably in relation to children. I think it is at least 10 years ago, and I wouldn't assume that this has not changed much. But in the city of Philadelphia alone, there are 30,000 children in the foster care program. I cannot fathom that. The foster care program is overloaded, and they are desperate, and many times, to find people who will help with that work. I came across a little note that a child wrote one time. It was a suicide note, and it said, "Mom, I'm sorry that I was ever born. It seems I have ruined your happiness. I chose this way out so you can be happy again." And the writer of that little illustration said that that girl, from the time that she was born, went from babysitters to daycare centers, got off the school bus to an empty house, and was allowed to live the way she wanted to. Our children tonight are a priceless treasure. They are a multi-million dollar project. And if you're involved tonight in the beautiful work of parenting, you're involved in a very important aspect of God's kingdom. Our view of children must be so different than the world's. God says, "I give them to you. It is my heritage. It is your heritage. It is my gift to you. It is my reward to you." Our view of children affects how we live. A father who has children as his treasure will try to choose a vocation that allows him to have a structured, normal home life. If there's anything that I wish for our, if there's sometimes I wish for our conference, for our homes, that there would be more homes where children grow up working with dad. It's something that I've not experienced in my own home, at least in limited ways. But at the very least, I think we need to have a vision for our vocation to lend itself to family life and to be home for our children and to be there. It was Jacob who said, "You know, these are the children that God has so graciously given me." He had a view of his children. They were precious to him. They were important to him. And our view of our children affects how we live. You know, when it comes to our lifestyle, we choose above a luxurious lifestyle and the pursuit of things, we choose family life above that. We prefer family time over our own personal interests, excessive hunting or elaborate hobbies and crafting and interior decorating and those kind of things that can use up a lot of time and a lot of energy and a lot of focus. And we give up those things to give it to our families, to give it to our children. And so family joy comes when we view our children as a treasure from God. Number two, family joy comes when we welcome many children into our home. I want to say this carefully tonight, not judgmentally, not I remember a time when my wife and I both grew up in families where there were six children. Her family had six children, and my family had six children. When I got married, I envisioned having six children. I suppose I did. I think I did. And God brought, over the years, God brought various influences to bear upon my life. And I cannot point exactly maybe to where that all changed, but my view changed. Brother Steve's sitting here tonight. I know that he influenced my thinking on how many children to have. I can't tell you how much or in what ways exactly, but if I have another child or two this evening because of those influences, and if Brother Steve influenced me to have a couple more children than I have, I owe him a couple $1 million that I don't have.
Praise God.
I don't have it to give him, but I owe it to him. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what all influences, maybe just some maturing and things like that as well. But I would like to, without being judgmental and without being rash tonight, I would like to encourage young families and those of you who are still in the bracket tonight of bringing children into the world to appreciate having many children. You look through genealogy books and you see a drastic change in what has happened in how many children are in homes today. My wife and I go along with the youth course. And when we get into old people's home and we take our family along, and it's not unusual for some of the older folks to say, "Are these your children or is this your child?" And then we talk about, sometimes we get around to how many children we had. And I say that I have 9 children. Sometimes that, in our world today, that makes mouths drop open. But I'm surprised at how many old people say, "Oh, I was number 12, or I was number 11, or I was number, I grew up in a big family. I had 8 brothers and 4 sisters," you know, whatever it is. A lot of old people still say that. Why has this shift in America in the last 100 years, however many years it is, but what's some of the thinking behind smaller families? One of them is this, and I believe that our world feels like like when a child leaves their home, they would need to have a college education and be financially secure. Years ago, I heard a young Mennonite man, a friend of mine, told me that he doesn't plan to have a very large family because he believes that you should. He would like to just have less children and then be able to provide financial, I don't know what the words he used, but he wanted them to be financially set for life. And he thought that by having less children, and I'll evaluate his life today and his children, it's not such a good picture. It is, and he's disappointed. He's finding himself disappointed with how that has all worked out. I suppose that another reason that families are much smaller is just simple selfishness. Young people wait to start families for selfish reasons, and older people stop having children for selfish reasons. I suppose there can be some reasons that are better than others. But I think it's possible that we just want to have life. You know, I can sort of relate to thinking about the time when our children are growing, and you know, my wife and I will be able to do this or that, or you know, it's an attractive thought in some ways. But I want to come back to the fact that God says that in this title, that happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. And we so easily tend to look around us and we think that Happiness is financial security. Happiness is be able to take vacations. Happiness is for my wife and I to be able to do a lot of things because the family's grown. Whatever it all is, and really, God says happiness is in. Happy is the man that's pouring his life and his energies into raising a family for the Lord. This idea that children must be financially set when they leave our homes, I suppose that as parents, it is one of the things that it's natural for a parent to think about that some. But I remember in the 60s when many young men went to BS and got paid very little. And I can still remember hearing several of them talk about getting married with one brother in particular. I should have called him to make sure I had this straight. But today he is financially well-to-do. But I think, if I remember right, he and his wife got married. When they got married, they had $60 to figure out how to set up housekeeping and get started and go on a wedding trip. $60. I just, again, want to encourage you as younger families to accept the workload and the sacrifice and the challenge and see it as a project that you can do for the Lord's work. How many children we have is a decision we need to make unselfishly and a desire to fulfill God's plan for our lives. Number three, family joy comes when carnal responses are brought into check through principle and discipline. You and I all know the frustration that goes along with when we don't quite get the job done with our children. when they have some needs in their life that they're expressing, and it can, Proverbs is so true when it says, chasten thy son and he'll give you rest. Our homes need to be through discipline and through structure and through principle. We cannot convert our children's hearts. I'm not suggesting that we can do that. But by teaching and by training, by discipline and by structure, you can help a child to be controlled and unselfish and happy and respectful and obedient and listen and obey and bring rest to a home. It can be done. You need to find that in it. We need to find that in our homes. Family joy is directly related to taking up the work of being a mighty man. This passage talks about a mighty man and taking seriously our responsibility and getting the work done so that we can enjoy the rest and enjoy life and enjoy our family. A lot of people, I think, in our world today are so frustrated and don't know where to begin hardly and what to say and what to do, and their children throw fits and they let them go and they don't believe that you can use the rod. And it's a big mess. It's chaotic and it's confusion. And a lot of doesn't make people enjoy their family at all. God's plan is that your family is to be enjoyed. Happy is the man. And one of the ways that we find family joy is through when carnal responses are brought into check through principle and through discipline. Life can be enjoyed. Family life can be enjoyed. Yes, disciplined homes are still a lot of work and a lot of correction and a lot of teaching. And some of those aspects are not always the most enjoyable thing to do. And I know the tendency in my own heart to be evasive with those things or to let something sort of slip by or just sort of not deal with it, and you just pay for it. You just pay for it. Because the sooner we take care of those kind of things, the sooner we can just go on and enjoy relationships and enjoy our family. Happy is the man. It's God's intention that our homes would be a blessing and a haven of happiness. Number four, family joy comes when we see our children going in the right direction. David here pens a beautiful little picture of a skilled archer. And not only is it a skilled archer, but I believe it is a quality of arrow. I don't know if you can imagine shooting an arrow that is not properly shaped and fitted and made properly. But you have the combination here of a skilled archer and an arrow that has submitted itself to the shaping of its parent. And you see an arrow, I believe, that goes in the right direction. And he's talking about children of the youth. There comes a time in our homes and with our families, and it doesn't take very long. Sometimes we think when we're young, we have these children for a long time. And you get a little older, you say, how can it be so short? But very soon they are thinking about making some of their own decisions, or they're thinking about starting their own home. But the tremendous, see, John says, I have no greater joy than to see that my children walk in truth. The joy that comes from seeing your children go in the right direction is a tremendous joy. My heart goes out tonight to homes or parents that have children that are not going in the right direction. And I want to very quickly say that all of us as parents have made enough of mistakes to not be too judgmental about that. But the joy that comes when children go in the right direction, when they choose the right, when they embrace the right, when they set their hearts upon God and they make a contribution to the Lord's work and to his kingdom and to the church and to the society they live in and to the lost. And to see your children go in the right direction, happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. When he is able to, after all of the hard work and all the investment of time, and he stands back and he sees his children taking up the Lord's work and doing what is right, joy, tremendous joy. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. And then, of course, there's not only faithful children, but there's grandchildren. And the hymn writer talks about solid joys and lasting treasures. It's more than just children and grandchildren that bring joy to our hearts, but it is one of the great joys of life. Number five, family joy comes when children become an extension of their parents' vision. You see, this archer, as he sends out those arrows, they can do for him what he could not do with his own arm. And I don't know if you've ever felt like, you know, as you're getting a little older, you feel like, you know, maybe when you were young, you thought you'd get a lot of things done in life. And you get a little older and you realize that, you know, I haven't gotten very much accomplished yet. And then you see your children begin to do some of the work that, and get more done than you could ever get done by yourself. And children become an extension of their parents' vision. That's tremendous joy. Accomplish things that you could not otherwise have done. Children are an opportunity to contribute to the Lord's work. Raising children is an opportunity to contribute to the Lord's work. I think it's important that one of the things that we need to continue to hold forth, I know that probably not every young person can do this, but young people need to involve themselves in VS opportunities for their own development and for the good of the church and for the good of God's kingdom. There are opportunities like Honduras Mission and Shepherd's Fold and school teaching and those kind of opportunities. Or just, maybe it's just, you know, your young person makes a contribution to somebody else's life through the right kind of influence and through the right kind of encouragement and being the right associate for that person. But children, it says in the last verse of this psalm that they would be able to speak with the enemies in the gate. They would be able to discern the enemy. Maybe not as a person, but as a thought or as a false doctrine or as an influence that's coming into the church. And it would be young people who are able to say, that's not what we want. Let's not do that. Let's not go that way. Young people, youth. And when children become an extension of their parents' vision, they bring joy to your heart really well. Number six, family joy comes when, I don't know how exactly I want to say this one, but I've jotted it down this way. Family joy comes when parents stand aloof from the accelerated lifestyle of our day. And I talked about this probably a little earlier, but our world is caught in somewhat of a trap, always pursuing more, and then, you know, figure out how to pay for it. And our world is so concerned about driving one of the newest vehicles and having nice furnishings and a lovely home and elaborate landscaping with long vacations and lots of recreation and toys and gadgets and electronics and the best in clothing and all that. Whole package. Sometimes it's called the American dream. And so mom and dad are both working. Their life is filled with that kind of focus and a lot of undue pressure because of it. And there's still more things to be had. And in that setting, sometimes children are either eliminated or neglected. Contrast that, and I call that an accelerated lifestyle. Just, you know, the Bible talks about the last days that there will be eating and drinking and just a lot of activity. And our world is just filled with it. Contrast that whole lifestyle with a lifestyle of simplicity and family time. I think that we rob ourselves of a lot of joy by frustrating ourselves with too many things. The latest carrot that dangles in front of us. Or contrast that with just the simplicity of singing together as a family. Contrast that with sitting around a campfire in the evening and talking. You don't need a lot of things to enjoy that. Contrast that with visiting friends or neighbors or helping a neighbor. Just the simplicity of family life. And my heart goes out to, my heart longs tonight for especially you as young families tonight, that you are able to say no to some of those pressures. It's certainly right to try to have a nice home or to have things nice and to pay for your bills and to drive a decent vehicle. I'm not inferring that that's not nice to do. I'm just saying if that becomes our focus and our vision and our pursuit, and we just pour energy into that, we miss the joys of family life. We can miss it all. And our children soon catch on what's important to mom and dad. And sometimes they feel like, you know, it's all work. And work is such a good thing. But somehow we need to balance some of our work out with some valuable family time too, and sometimes valuable family time is part of work too. Think about that, and think about what's important to you. If your children, if you would ask your child, you know, what do you think is really important to mom and dad? What would they say? The last one, family joy comes when you realize that parent-child relationships can be forever.
Yes.
Just think about it. Think about when you bring that young families tonight, when you hold that little baby in your arms and say, this child is forever. Think about the responsibility. I marvel tonight that God allows two people to bring a soul into being that will live forever. It's almost unthinkable. But also think about the fact that when you bring a child into this world, you give that child an opportunity to enjoy eternal life.
Yes.
Think about that fact. Look at that child. This psalm says, lo, behold, look upon children. Jesus loved children. He brought them to him. He held them. He loved them. He looked upon them. Look upon that child and say, by bringing this child into this world, I have given this child an opportunity to enjoy God and to enjoy eternity and to live forever. Now start thinking about how many children should you have? Think about that privilege. And when time is over, what will really have been important? Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. You know, when time is over, the house is gone, the business is gone, the nice furniture will be gone. The lifestyle will be gone. The landscaping's gone. But when you bring a child into this world, you give that child an opportunity of eternal life forever. Somehow we need to weigh those things on a balance, on a scale. And what's really important needs to get our attention and our focus. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. I would reword that tonight. I would just say, it is a great joy to be parents with many children. It's a great joy. I hope tonight that as parents, no matter what age you are and what level you are in parenting, that you are enjoying your children. God gave them to you for you to enjoy. It is his intention that you enjoy them. And he says that it is your heritage. And that means that it's there. It is yours for eternity. It is a gift from God to you. May the Lord help us to think clearly as we live here in 2006 and on the edge of eternity, possibly. It is not at all out of the realm of possibility that the Lord could come sometime this year. Maybe we should just go home and just take a look at our things and say, how really important are they? You know, the hymn writer said, tell me when this world's empty glory is costing me too dear, when it just has gotten too important to me. Think about how much time you're investing in your family and your children. Think about your attitudes toward them. And the devotional again tonight, and just, you know, pick up those children and touch them and love them and hold them and talk to them, whether you're the grandpa or the grandmother, the parent, or whether you're the school teacher or whether you're a young person. All of us together need to look at families and children and as an opportunity to help them in every way that we can. Because when time is over, there are only two destinies. And everything will matter at that point. May God help us to choose the road and the way of happiness that he has designed for us. Shall we kneel together for prayer?